I'm David Schreiner Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Laura Sekola. Laura is an executive communication expert who helps leaders communicate their message effectively and persuasively to any audience by showing them how to confidently and authentically master the three C's of vocal executive presence. They are command the room, connect with the audience, and close the deal. Laura is the founder of Vocal Impact Productions in Philadelphia. She has spent nearly 20 years training, coaching, lecturing, researching, and publishing on language, cognition, pronunciation, culture, the voice, and learning. Laura is a speech coach for the TED Fellows Program and has delivered TEDx talks, workshops, presentations, and keynote addresses on topics ranging from the art of persuasive speaking to intercultural business communication for audiences across the U.S. in Egypt, Japan, Spain, China, and Germany. So, Laura, you clearly get around. Welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
Thanks so much, David. I'm really excited to be here.
So I wonder if we could actually start out by talking a little bit about your background. You're doing really fascinating work, and clearly you've done it in lots of places. And I wondered if you could start off by just kind of talking about how you got into this.
Sure. Unlike a lot of business people, my background isn't technically in business. I'm a linguist and an educator. I started out about a million years ago or so teaching public school in South Central Los Angeles. And it was quite the experience there, given that it was all immigrants from Latin America, and trying to help them navigate the language and cultural differences of the American educational system and community overall. I am bilingual also in Spanish. That was sort of the initial springboard. And then things sort of developed from there. And I ended up doing my doctorate in educational linguistics here in Philadelphia at the University of Pennsylvania, where I was teaching for about 10 years as well. And through that research and through the teaching that I was doing, I was looking in particular at language development. And a lot of the pieces that were involved in that is trying to understand what is it about the way people communicate that has certain influences on the listener. When you hear things like a heavy accent, for example, does it make you just want to tune them out and say, oh, I don't want to deal with this? Or does it make you say, wow, that sounds really pretty? Does it make you tune in? Does it think about if you hear someone with a French accent versus an Indian accent? Well, are they on your tech support call, or are they selling you cosmetics or wine? You know, the different context has very strong influences on the way that you perceive them. And that's just for the international piece, but it also has to do with locals, with other Americans, with other people from your own country and culture. And little details in the way that you use your voice can have really big influences on how effective you are and whether or not someone is even open to really hearing and receiving your message, regardless of whether or not they can understand the words. And that's where this has all come into play.
You know, it's really fascinating, given the fact that business has become so global, and it's so easy nowadays to do business globally. I mean, look as an example at this podcast. You and I are in different cities. You're in Philadelphia. I'm in New York. We're actually not that far from each other geographically, and probably not that different linguistically. But I've had guests on from all over the world. It's really easy for people to listen to this podcast anywhere in the world, and it's really easy to do business anywhere in the world. And I think that really impacts all the things that you've just described.
Absolutely, absolutely. I would say almost half of my clients are not in this country. And Skype, which is what we're using right now, is an amazing medium to be able to communicate with everybody. And to your point, most of my clients, especially the international ones, are on these global teams where you may have some of your business processing outsourced to India or to China, and you've got your manufacturing in Latin America, and you've got your marketing people throughout Europe. It's really amazing just to see how small the world is getting. You have to be able to communicate with people from everywhere. There is no boundary anymore.
Yeah, it's remarkable. So with that in mind, how did you come to realize that there are what you call the three C's of vocal executive presence: commanding the room, connecting with the audience, and closing the deal?
You know, it's interesting. Regardless of whether I'm working with internationals, expats who are here from abroad and working for American corporations or attending American universities, et cetera, or whether they're Americans themselves or people going abroad, they always come to me because they're experiencing at least one, if not two or all three, of these challenges. Either they are maybe newly promoted, for example, they have this new opportunity, but they suddenly realize that they're presenting to executives, or they have to now be in front of larger rooms, and it's not enough to just know your stuff. You have to get up there and exude this presence, this confidence, this command that says, I'm here for a reason and I am the only one who you need to turn to right now for this information. You have to be so credible in that you're not competing with their cell phones for their attention. Because you know the minute an audience loses their interest in what you're saying, and that takes about 9 seconds, they immediately reach for their phone to check their text messages, emails, whatever. So you have to have that command, that intuitive authority that just makes people buy into you and give you the benefit of the doubt from the very beginning. The connecting piece, a lot of times people have that command, they have that confidence, but then there's a relatability factor that's a challenge. Maybe you come across too aggressively or too abruptly, or maybe you're too indirect, or maybe there's something about the words that you're choosing or the sound of your voice that's, they're just going, I don't know. I mean, yeah, he seems smart and he seems, I'm sure it's probably a good product, but I don't know. I just can't relate to him. And here's the thing, even when you're not in sales, you're in sales. We're all in sales. So many of us went into jobs because we thought, oh, I would never want a sales job. Guess what? You're selling. If you have a point to make, you're trying to get someone on board with your idea, you're trying to convince or persuade, you're selling. But if people don't buy into you, they will not buy into your product, service, or idea. So you need that relatability, the ability to connect with that audience. And then the closing is, ultimately, closing the deal doesn't necessarily mean in the formal sales context, but like I just mentioned, that ability to get to yes. Even if you just want to convince somebody to join you for a project or to support an initiative you're trying to promote, you need their support. You need their agreement. You need to get to yes. And if you, no matter how good everything else is, if you can't get to that final point and leave knowing that you have their commitment and their support, then you just wasted all the rest of your time leading up to that moment. So ultimately, the clients who are coming to me are falling into one or more of those three categories, and that's where they came from.
So, Laura, you know, it's a really good description of the fact that even if we're not formally in sales, we are all in sales. I was thinking as you were describing this whole process, you know, thinking back to when we were little kids, right? We're always trying to sell our parents,
absolutely,
right, to let us do certain things.
Yes. Perpetually.
Right?
We use the word need all the time instead of want, but I need the cookie, Mom. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. So I wondered if what you've described is true, not just when you're in front of an audience of multiple people, but also if you're one-on-one with somebody.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this conversation that we're having, we're both in sales. You're selling perpetually selling your podcast to your listeners, compelling them to come back each and every time. I'm here, hopefully, to let people know that I've got information that's of interest to them, that's of use to them. It's all part of that. It never changes. And it's a one-on-one conversation every time you have a point that you want someone else to accept, you're in sales.
It's so true. So I know that for many people, just getting started on something is one of the hardest, parts of the process.
Yep.
And getting up in front of an audience is often really daunting for a lot of people.
Yes.
So whether you're trying to do something in front of a large audience, or whether you're doing something one-on-one, what are some easy ways to kind of get over your discomfort or your fear, so that you can get going on the three C's and get to the point where you are commanding the room?
Sure. The preparation is key. To the extent that you have any time to prepare for, you're talking about like a formal speech, a formal presentation kind of a context?
Well, where you know that you are going to be in front of one or more other people, where you need to be persuasive, and you are eventually going to get to, you need to get to the point where you're going to try to close something, whether it's an idea, whether it's a sale, whatever it is.
Right.
Right. But you got to get started somewhere. And you know, getting started is often the hardest part.
Right, right. So preparation is key. You need to go in there knowing what you want to talk about. You can't be fumbling trying to figure out what your own point is as you're talking through it, especially as the higher you go up the org chart, the less time and patience and attention span people have. They want you to just get to the point and get out. But here's the silver bullet. Ready? The silver bullet is, it's not about you. It's about them. You have to talk to them from their own perspective. And this accomplishes two things. Number one, we get nervous because we're totally obsessed with ourselves, right? It's like, oh, what if I make a mistake? What if they don't like what I'm doing? What if I don't do this right? What if I forget? Get out of your own head and get out of your own way. It's not about you. What do they want to know? Why are they engaging in this conversation? What would make it worth it to them to ask you to spend some more time talking to them? What is it that you want them to say, think, feel, and do by the end of your meeting? So when you are thinking about it from their perspective, giving them what they need, the benefits that they want, and then framing the rest of your talk from that perspective, then suddenly you'll realize that you are immediately connecting with them. You're jumping right to that second C before you even open your mouth. And once you feel that, you can sense that they're with you on that because you're talking about their interests, their needs. And once you feel that connection, that often can give you confidence to feel like, oh, okay, I think I'm doing this right. This feels good. This feels positive. And then, you know, it reinforces what you're already trying to do. So get out of your own way. It's not about you. It's about them.
Laura, is there an example you might be willing to share that would kind of illuminate how this works?
Oh, sure. Every time people are going in to make a presentation to the boss, or to maybe you're trying to speak to somebody who's in a different function, you're in IT and you need to talk to somebody in the sales department, or you're in communications and you need to talk to people in finance or somewhere else. Most often, like I have somebody I was working with who's in communications, and she needed to get IT to try to change the system of the way that they were updating other departments on some new products. And they'd had a lot of the same conversation in circles over and over, and she wasn't getting the effect she wanted. And the problem was, she was walking in and saying, look, here's what we need. We're, you know, for us to do our job, we need this, this, and this. And IT, to an extent, was kind of saying, well, that's not convenient for us. Stalemate. And
yeah.
So what we have to do at that point is say, all right, what would make these adaptations worth it for IT to do? How can you see a way to go about it that would increase their convenience, or at least not increase their inconvenience? And for that matter, what would make things better for them in other ways? So among other things, you would not be having the same conversation all the time. You could cut down the amount of communication, the number of emails that go back and forth on the same topic from month to month by about 75%. Would that be good? Would it be, how much time do you spend doing this versus doing that? Well, if you invest X amount of time doing this new procedure, then you eliminate all of this time in this other area. And so, you know, just learning how to show them why this new system, and it can't be just, you guys need to change something because it's not working for us. You have to present a solution and show why it's in everybody's best interest. And that gets the door open.
Yeah, that's a great example. Laura, I wondered if we could shift for a minute and talk a little bit about some of the kinds of plateaus that people hit.
Yeah.
After they've been successful, maybe multiple times in different ways, and they get to the point where they're trying to grow what they're doing, trying to grow their business, and it's just, they keep hitting roadblocks. And one of the things that we see with some of with people in our audience is they're often stuck, particularly if they're a service business, they get stuck in this trap of trading time for dollars.
Yes.
And I wondered if we could talk a little bit about how you might be able to use communications more effectively to try to get out of that trap and grow what you've already been successful creating.
Sure, and that's one of the bigger challenges that I have had myself, trying to figure out how to shift, how to pivot that business model. And what I've come to, and one of the projects that I'm working on now, is being able to take what I do, where my expertise is core to my ability to deliver my service at the level that I do. So it's not like I could just hire a bunch of other people to go in and do it for me, but how to otherwise expand so that the only time I get paid is not when I'm physically present someplace. So for me, creating a passive income stream has meant creating products on the market that people can access for themselves to use for self-learning modules of sorts, learning at their own pace. And it's a springboard also, because it's usually at a much lower price point than what I would otherwise be charging if I were face-to-face with them. And then that is a chance for more people to get on board and to get a taste, so to speak, of what you're doing. So where communication comes in, of course, this is, you know, my product line development, so to speak, which is shifting my business model in some ways. But for others who would be looking to do this, I've resisted this for, I can't even tell you how many years, 7 years maybe, resisting the idea of that what I do could still be valuable in a passive income means like that, in some sort of product that didn't require me to know the audience and personalize it for them individually. And so that's where your communication skills, those three, the ability to command, connect, and close, if you're going to put together these kinds of self-access learning modules, you have to be a master communicator, right? Because number one, the way that you speak into your recording, et cetera, or on your videos online or on your video blog or whatever system you choose to use, you have to be so compelling. You have to have this tone of voice that sucks people in, that gets them energized with you, that makes them believe that you really love what you do and you're totally convinced in the nature of your own material. And so that way they don't doubt your abilities. They don't doubt your sincerity. They want some of the Kool-Aid that it sounds like you've been drinking, so to speak. And then that also helps them to connect, right? You get them, you're in competition with their email, with their Twitter account, with their whatever is constantly popping up. So you need to be able to convey your idea in a way that has momentum and that has flow and that ultimately has the what's in it for me. Right, that whole speaking to them about them, not about yourself. It's your content, it's your material, but it has to be presented in a way that's constantly about them. Make it about them and they will be far more interested in you. And that ultimately gets you to be able to close the deal. Hopefully they like what you've offered, possibly for free for starters. Then they're willing to buy something on the smaller line, whether it's a $10, $100, who knows what your first step will be. And then leading up to the multi-hundred and thousand and whatever product series you've got from there, but to build that sequence, each piece of passive income unit, each module has to have those three C's in it. I don't care if you're teaching computer programming. I don't care if you're teaching how to play the piano. I don't care if you are teaching carpentry. You still have to have that compelling, persuasive, influential delivery style.
Yeah, it's interesting that you describe it that way, because I was thinking as you're speaking that as the one who is presenting the information, if you're used to bouncing something off of someone face to face and reacting to what you see, either see in their body language or hear when they speak to you, then being able to have those three C's, commanding the room, connecting with the audience, and closing the deal when it's passive, when you're creating a product that delivers your content where it's not face to face, then you don't have the audience for yourself to react to as you're presenting it. It's an interesting challenge.
Absolutely. And a lot of people really get stuck on that. You know, they sit in front of their laptops and the little green light goes on, which shows their video camera is rolling and they're sort of looking at themselves. I recommend putting a piece of paper over the screen or whatever you need to do just to not stare at yourself while you're talking if you're doing a video. But otherwise, if you're just doing an audio recording, you know, you will rehearse. It's not going to be your first take. So you need to run through it a few times and see where do you sound natural? See where do you sound kind of stiff? Do not script. Oh, please, for the love of all that is good and holy, do not script what you're going to say. Because most people, unless you're a professional actor, most people cannot read. Number one, they can't write a script that sounds like speech. And number two, even if they could, they can't deliver it without sounding like they're reading at some point. Even if you write it yourself. We're so used to writing essays, writing reports, writing good English, that when we try to write a speech and then deliver it, we sound like we're reading an essay, which is exactly what we're doing. So now that's something I can certainly help people with, and I do very frequently, but it's not something that most people are good at, and they don't have the instinct to be able to understand what they're doing that makes it sound stiff. So give yourself bullets. Give yourself notes, but just allow yourself to talk. If it helps, use your smartphone, hit your audio recorder, and just pace. Walk around the room, gesticulate, pretend you're talking to somebody, put your kids' dolls on the couch, or have people sit there who are just plants, your friends, neighbors, relatives, anybody who's willing to sit there for half an hour, an hour. You can always do editing, so it can be 15-minute modules, 10 minutes at a time, etc., just to run through stuff so that you can watch them, get them to react to you, and so that you can get revved up about what it is that you're talking about, even if it's tax accounting, which some people might think is the most boring topic on the planet. But if you love it, that's what matters. I love my accountant because he loves what he does. I would never want to be an accountant. You wouldn't want me to be your accountant, but it makes my eyes glaze over. But I love that he loves it, and that's what gives me the confidence to stick with them. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. So, Laura, you mentioned that you were resistant at first to mm-hmm. creating products.
Right.
I wondered if we could talk a little bit about that. Why were you so resistant, and how did you overcome it?
First, when I first launched my original business about 8 years ago, it was because I was focusing more on the international audience. And when people think about English language development and language learning CDs, tapes, you know, whatever you were used to, from Rosetta Stone to Berlitz or Pimsleur, et cetera, they're all so bloody generic. I don't care how great Rosetta Stone's graphics are. It's just not a particularly advanced program. They're really generic and they're horribly flawed. And most people get through like the first three lessons, then get bored and fall off the planet. And I just thought, I don't know how I could offer my level of expertise and my level of instruction that has been successful for me and for my clients and students over the years in a way that could be transmitted in such a unidirectional way. And so I didn't believe that those two things were compatible. But as I shifted over the years and relaunching in about 3 years ago to Vocal Impact Productions, which is more about the contextualizing speech and voice within the realm of leadership communication and executive presence, then I started to understand how I could take what I do and still make it interactive. I can teach people I can guide them through how to make recordings and how to listen for certain things and how to do self-feedback and peer feedback and teach them the skills to analyze and evaluate themselves. And that is really key. It's interesting, there's an expression that a good teacher is someone who can explain things to people who aren't good at understanding and who can understand people who aren't good at explaining. And what that says to me for this particular context, creating these self-access modules, is that you have to envision what kind of stumbling blocks people are going to encounter when they're trying to do something. You have to be able to talk them through it on a level of specificity, accuracy, detail, watching your vocabulary and jargon, being clear enough that you're not being condescending and you're not being so verbose and repetitive that people are going, oh my God, I get it, move on. But at the same time, it's specific enough that they go, okay, I can do this by myself. I may need to replay it once or twice to really have it sink in, but I understand it clearly from the way that you describe it without being able to ask for clarification. That's a key piece, and that's why you need to have an audience. If nothing else, just do your first recording, your draft, and then give it to someone else and say, can you follow this? Does this make sense? Get the feedback several times for that matter, and then create your final product from there.
Those are great tips. So Laura, what are you working on now?
Really building that passive income stream product line. I've just on my website, there's two products at the moment. There is a 75-minute audio program called Discovering Your Leadership Voice, and it comes along with a 15-page PDF workbook. So that's a great introduction, a great springboard for people who want to just start to understand how they sound and how modifying little details can make a big impact on how you come across and how people receive you. And it starts out kind of technical and with aspects of the voice, and then it moves into application and relating those little factors to different audience types. And then the second product, which is sort of a stage two, is a 4-part webinar series, and that's called Unleashing Your Leadership Voice. And that has been, that's just about up on the website. Hopefully by the time this podcast airs, it should be ready to go. And that goes through the three stages or the three C's of vocal executive presence. Module one is commanding the room. Module two is connecting with the audience. Module three is closing the deal. And module four is putting it all together and connecting it with the art of storytelling, which in communication is a crucial piece of information. And frankly, if you're going to be making these various audio programs or video programs or other self-access modules to expand your own service offerings, then you need to learn how to storytell. You cannot just list stats, facts, data. People want illustrations. They want stories. They want to understand it. So we work on all of those things together. And for each of these programs, you know, if you listen to it straight through, 75 minutes for the first, about 4 hours for the second series, you can get it through it in about that much time. But if you actually stop and use the workbooks, there's about a 60-page workbook that comes with the second one that is, it can take you 2 and 3 times longer to really go through it, because I've done my best to make these products as comprehensive as possible so that people really feel like they got something out of this. They didn't just buy fluff. This is real. This is content. There's meat to this. And that they finished thinking to themselves, wow, I never realized what I was doing and how I was sabotaging myself or how much control I actually have. I always felt like I was an underdog, or that they were bullying me, or I was kind of I just didn't have what they wanted in the old boys network or something like that. And now I realize how much control I have to be able to connect with that group, get my point across, but still be me, totally authentic. And, you know, if people can get through that, then I know that I personally, I, Laura, have been successful. And so the next stage is I'm doing some market research to figure out what is the next piece that people want. Do they want more videos? Do they want a particular topic? Is it more about networking or about presentations and public speaking, giving formal speeches, or who knows what? So that's my next frontier. And then, of course, marketing.
So Laura, speaking of your own success with this, who's been influential for you in what you've done in your career?
Most recently, the last 4 or 5 months, I guess, I've been working with a great business coach, J.B. Crum III, who I believe has been on this show before.
Yes, he has.
And he's terrific. And we met about 2 years ago. We're both on the board of advisors for the California Women's Conference. And just in getting to know him, I really appreciated his approach to business development and the fact that he also is building this online service-based industry. And watching him grow his business, I thought, that's somebody I can learn from. It's always helpful to see that somebody's done it themselves. And so it's through his guidance that I've been able to systematize both the creation and the marketing of these passive income streams, because he's the one who sort of helped me get over that hurdle.
That's great. And Laura, who do you know personally who is doing really remarkable work in addition to JV?
You know, it's unrelated to my field personally, but it's a client in that I've coached him through some TED Talks. There's an organization based in London called the African Prisons Project. And every time I talk to him, I just marvel. His name is Alexander McLean, and I would highly recommend looking at the African Prisons Project website if you really want to see some inspirational work. His focus is reforming the prison system in Northern Africa. And this is a prison system that, aside from corruption being a major issue, we're talking dirt floors. You know, this is the level of institution. And most of the inmates are illiterate, needless to say, recidivism, assuming they ever get out in the first place, is a major issue. So he's working on creating them as a space of learning and development where inmates are teaching other inmates literacy skills, basic math skills, trade type work. And he's partnering with different governments and universities in London to offer legal degrees through correspondence courses. And he's getting scholarships for the most promising inmates so that they're getting law degrees while in prison. And for many of them, the reason they're even in there is because their families didn't have the money to be able to hire a lawyer to even get them to trial in the first place. So while in there, they're becoming lawyers and they're ending up trying their own cases years later and then being advocates and guides for other inmates, either while they're still there or once they get out. It's such an amazing giving back cycle of productivity in otherwise what would be the abyss of hopelessness, I would think.
Wow. You know, I'm always amazed, impressed, and touched by the answers I get to this question about, you know, personal anecdotes of others doing remarkable work in the world. That's quite an example.
So for anybody out there who thinks that they're up against some sort of insurmountable challenges and working against odds that are just virtually impossible, yeah.
Check this one out. Thank you. Laura, how can our listeners learn more about you?
They can go to www.vocalimpactproductions.com. And I'm very happy to offer as a free gift to all of your listeners the workbook that goes along with the audio program, Discovering Your Leadership Voice. And you'll find that if you go to vocalimpactproductions.com/smash.
Great. Thank you for offering that for our listeners. It's been a fascinating discussion about communication and business and what your own personal ups and downs have been along the way. Laura, thanks for coming on the show today. My guest today on Smashing the Plateau has been executive communication expert Laura Sekola. Thank you again, Laura, for joining us.
Thank you, David. It's been a great time.